everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Rhythm in Rome with your hosts, myself, Benef. We have Paul, we have Trisha, and here's where we discuss our travel adventures and explore cultural differences, similarities, misconceptions, and all the craziness in between. So get ready for a passport knuckle ride as we tackle another crazy issue for y'all. Excited to be back. We've got another interesting interview for you with some of Trisha's friends, and we're discussing why we travel. Let's talk.
All right. So
I travel because I'm bored. No, I'm joking.
Because we're bored. Okay. Yeah, that's a reason.
That's the reason why I hopped on a plane last minute. Made my plane reservation Sunday night and traveled again on Monday. So
spontaneous travel is the best, baby.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It was a great trip. But anyway, so just to get started on what we're talking about today, these are friends of mine that I've known now for, gosh, probably close to 20 years. We've kind of raised our children together on the same street. And basically, we wanted to talk about cultural differences and just basically what it is about, what is it about travel? Like, what is the essence of that? And kind of their experiences. And I think they gave us some really great topics to talk about. But fully gracious. So
I've had the opportunity to travel all over the world for work, which is super fortunate, every continent. Either for personal reasons or work reasons. But I remember specifically the first time I went to Romania, to Bucharest. And it's not that it's that big of a thing. Maybe it was just that nobody prepared me for it. But when I went, there was a massive Catholic celebration where tens of thousands of people took to the street to celebrate. It was a particular religious day, holy day, but they were especially celebratory because they were coming out of communism. And I didn't realize that they only came out of communism like in the last 50 years.
Oh, wow.
I mean, recent, if you think about it.
Wow.
And the communists, when they came in, had destroyed churches that were thousands of years old. And I had no idea.
Wow.
And some of them, what they did is they put up these false facades to hide the churches from the communists marching to save them. So these now religious holidays had this incredible import to them because they were able to save and they really treasured and appreciated. And I just knew nothing about that. I just had never realized about the communist occupation and that the freedom from it was so recent. And then they had these massive walks where they would march through the streets and take up like Main Street effectively for miles. So that was a huge surprise for me and really super, super interesting historically. And I've learned that even though I had traveled to Europe a lot, and I know Europe is incredibly rich in history and culture, that each country had a very different richness in history and culture. So you can't just assume because you've been to London or France that the same thing applies to Romania. It's every one of them has a very different story and situation. And that was really eye-opening and incredible for me.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I noticed was that like we all and it, us three and of course with your friends all seem to have in common is that we're really looking to explore different cultures and like understand the history and how they perceive things and how that's different from us as Americans. And so I really got that from, you know, what they said, because that's what makes it so interesting, so juicy and spicy. I mean, even in different parts of the U.S., you can get that, but I just feel like when I'm someplace foreign, then it's just the awareness is intensified.
Yeah. And I think, I thought it was, you know, interesting. Like, I agree with everything you guys are both saying on that. My biggest reason, honestly, on why I travel is because, and I think I said it before, even in my bio, for some reason, I just love to immerse myself into something that is totally different than where I come from, you know, where people don't sound like me. A lot of times people don't look like me. And then just, yeah, just try to not be where the stereotype of what people think of an American. And most of the time it shocks people that we're not what they all think we are and stuff like this. And try to be within the local atmosphere. And I just find that to be really, really fascinating. And just going to places where I know is undiscovered and let me not get it twisted. When I say undiscovered, I don't mean like, yeah, I'm going to hang out in the Amazon rainforest,
yeah, okay,
or something like this. I'm talking about, you know, somewhere where I know I don't have to get hurt or something.
Well, here's a question. Do you find that the greater the cultural differences, the greater or the harder it is to try to integrate, or the more difficult the experience, or the more anxiety? Because I've found that it does require me to be more on if I'm traveling to a place that's vastly different from the United States,
yes,
versus traveling to the UK or Australia,
right,
where they speak English. But if I'm going to another place where it's like very different, like China or Thailand, Japan, any of the Asian countries, it's the difference is so great that if I'm not in the right mindset, I can have extreme anxiety.
That's a good point you made. That is definitely a good point you made. And I think Trisha, your friends, at some point may touch on it and stuff like this too, as well, because while you say you feel some kind of anxiety, I think I do too as well. But it's more onto the point of, at first when I used to travel and I was just like a baby when it came to traveling, was like, I had this confident, but I had this American confidence, like I'm American, so y'all can't do nothing to me, that type of attitude, you know? And as I, you know, start to live in different, had the opportunities to actually live in different areas and stuff like this, that slowly disintegrated. And I don't feel that way anymore. What I tend to want and to feel like now is to actually understand the laws, to actually not be the one that's the arrogant and whatever, because you will find out very quickly how you get shut down and no one cares, you know, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So then the anxiety stops. And my anxiety now, honestly, is looking at the fact that, okay, I know if I go here, like with my friend who's from Slovakia, when I go to Slovakia, I know for a fact my anxiety is going to be because I don't look like them. So, you know, I'm that's where I would definitely start to look at different things, maybe checking the embassy, U.S. embassy, to see if there's anything going on or if there's any specifics of issues or whatever like that, so I can be mindful. And I think people who's watching or listening will, you know, understand that and be thumbs up and agreeing on that too as well.
So I think for me, everywhere we've gone, try to get off the beaten path, learn, you know, do what the locals do, eat where the locals eat, and immerse yourself and try different things. This one never tried Vegemite in Australia, but you know, if it's eating sea urchin, if it's eating squid or octopus or whatever the local delicacy is, go for it, enjoy it, immerse yourself. And otherwise, to me, there's no point traveling to go to Europe and stay in a Holiday Inn or eat at a McDonald's or something. That to me just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
If I'm going to be there, I want to be immersive. I want to understand the culture. I mean, is it, what foods do they eat? You know, dances, celebrations, things like that.
I think I tend to agree with you on that as well. When it comes to that, but I think for me, the biggest thing is, I've traveled to a handful of places where English wasn't spoken, probably less than that. But for the most part, you know, if you're in a city, you will find someone or get someone that can, but you know, if you're in more rural areas, that's what you'll find. But my point is that for me, the anxiety is just more a language barrier. I'm still innate, to myself and knowing, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure where that comes from, but maybe it's just me. I just feel that we as people relate. You know, we have more similarities than we have differences. So the fact that You know, I may need to find something to eat, or I mean, those are basic things, right? So I'm not concerned about that so much. I'm more worried about them understanding what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. Here's a question I have, because I guess I'm realizing that I have a couple, like two different anxieties. Like the first would be if I'm traveling with my children. And they're older now, so it's less of an issue, but like I would have to be the one to figure everything out, especially like in English speaking countries. My husband is 100% down with helping me, but if we were traveling someplace where they didn't speak English, you know, he just is like, okay, like I was the one that was going to have to figure it out. And that means that everyone's depending on me to get from point A to point B. And that's a lot of pressure. So that's the one type of anxiety. But if I'm traveling by myself, and it's a place they don't speak English, I might not be familiar with, or maybe I don't feel safe in that country. Then it's like I'm female and now I'm on guard everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't want to go out at night because why put myself on, I don't know Kung Fu or jujitsu. So then I have that like sense of just,
I think we all can agree. Yeah, I think
we can all agree with that.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree that probably all of us, and probably folks that are listening to as well, the number one anxiety when we travel that we're going to worry about is, are people going to want to speak with us in English? Now my anxiety is this, like, I've been here, living here 2 years now, and I feel like they're going to just get so fed up with me in speaking to me in English and then listening to my broken French. And because I've already had a little bit nuances of people, you know, colleagues or whatever, they'll be like, oh, you've been here 2 years and you don't speak French yet? Like, this could be just France or Paris, where they automatically have a timeline of when you're supposed to be perfect. Right. And I feel this right now. And Benef, you remember I texted you and I, or both of you guys, I texted you guys because I'm just trying to write in French.
Right.
And yes. Lord knows, it's just, you know, I was just at the hospital a couple of days ago, and it's obviously a French hospital. And when I tell you, no one spoke English. They speak English, but they just did not want to speak English with me. Mm-hmm. It was like the anxiety was like at the peak, because I was I was speaking in French, and they were just like, huh? And they understand me, and then they'll try to say something back in English, and I'm like, but you speak English, and they're like, no, it's not good.
I mean, but I think also because I've had this thing happen to me. Well, if I go to a place where I do look like them and they're expecting me to speak the language, then I have anxiety because like I'm supposed to be fitting, you know, they're expecting me to act a certain way and I don't. Like in Mexico, they are expecting me to speak Spanish, and when I don't, they get confused, you know, or I speak like the, you know, four sentences that I know, and it's rapid fire Spanish, and I'm like, oh my, no hablo. But also that's happened in Italy. It's happened in Puerto Rico. It's happened, I mean, obviously in China and Japan and Korea, like ain't nobody gonna be thinking, I mean, they would be surprised if I could come out with like fluent Korean. And then they might say,
come sound me out. That's all I know.
but it has to do with the way that you look though.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. So, and I, you know, and I didn't realize how much that again caused a sort of anxiety or a sort of feeling of insecurity or inferiority, because even though I'm not Italian or I'm not Mexican or Spanish, like it, but because they think that I should be, then I feel inadequate. Well, and I think it has to do with the fact that, I mean, I'm half Black, half Afghan, and don't unfortunately identify really with those cultures. And I don't speak Farsi. And so I've always sort of had like this issue around language, because I don't speak the language of my mother.
Well, I know I had that experience when I was in Paris. I actually had someone ask me, you're not African, are you? well, yes, wow. Actually, 73%. But what they were trying to say was that I was not African, like an African there in Paris.
Like from Africa.
Yeah,
from
I was definitely
an African country.
They assumed without me even opening my mouth that I was from someplace else. But of course, by the time I opened my mouth to explain to them, what do you mean by that? Oh, you're American.
Yeah. So, but most of the time they can tell we're American just by the way we walk. Sometimes just by the way we, like,
we dress. Yeah.
The dressing,
the way we look, like, the way we dress. Although I
can pick up on an American when I travel anywhere outside of America. Like, just the way
we tend to
dress.
Be a little bit more confident too. Yeah. When we go out and walk and do
and loud.
But we've been to places in different countries where we're there with other Americans and they maybe have a few drinks and they turn so stinking cowboy loud. I mean, just arrogant, loud. It just turns people off. It's horrible. And then they don't understand why people aren't kowtowing to them or whatever.
Sure.
And it's embarrassing. I will say, as an American, it is so embarrassing to go to places where Americans are being like that.
Right.
Because I want to say, that's not all of us. Please don't judge me based on what individual is doing.
Sure.
And that is by far, for me personally, and I know you feel the same way, that we just are so conscious and literally embarrassed in some cases. I'll like pretend to be. I'll pretend to be not American. It's like, nope, not me. That's not, nope.
Just wave magic passport around.
That's right. That's right.
Loud.
I mean, it's like the third time that's been mentioned now by three different
crazy?
People.
Three
we didn't do any
people.
Like coaching, but it's, Americans are loud.
Even the
and
Americans
anxious.
Said that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Right. And that being said, just, you know, kind of transitioning to another piece of that is, you know, how do we try to get the best experience when we're out there doing all kinds of travel? Because we mentioned a lot of things that actually, you know, add in a lot when it comes to culture, when it comes to how we should be careful or whatever it is. And it doesn't matter, black, white, purple, green, or whatever you are. It's just, you know, how do you make sure you get the best experience that you can possibly get?
I always try to do like some sort of walking food tour. I mean, that I feel like I really, because that just exploring the food, I mean, hopefully it's something that I find appetizing to eat, but because I feel like through the food is one way that I can, I mean, everybody got to eat. So I'm bringing it back because, like, you know, we travel to other places.
We want it. No, this is good.
We want to know about their history, their culture. And people that come to America, are you think that they're looking, I'm interested to about our history, about our culture. Like, what is American culture if we're such a melting pot? So what are they coming to see?
But that's
because are
thing.
They coming
we
to learn
have...
about like the actual
no.
history
no.
of the land? Right.
No. What they coming to see in America, and I can attest to this because I've spoken to people from different places from all over, even when I lived in Asia or, you know, like when people come to America, whether it's to visit or to live, like I have a friend of mine who's from Italy. He has his mindset to wanting to move to America. I'm like, why? You live in Italy. Are you kidding me? That's me saying this. And he is saying he's always wanting to go to America. And one of the things that they really, truly look at is because they see us on TV and they see, you know, that whole land of the free and being able to make money. And it's not wrong. It's just that they're not looking at it as how an American would look at visiting, whether it's Europe or a different country. Because I know when I'm here, I get so mad when I see people just walking by these buildings and the cobblestones. Remember, I told you this, Benef, when I saw you.
Our country's not as old, so the architecture isn't as exciting. Yeah,
but I actually get upset.
Yeah, but even the cultural piece of it, like, I love it. Like, I don't feel when I'm in America, maybe because I'm American and I just don't feel it, but I don't feel when I'm in America and I'm living there that it's a cultural, like New York, you know, yeah, when I go and go get a slice or when I go to, you know, go get my bacon, egg and cheese on a bagel, is considered culture in New York.
Well, because everybody brought their own culture, as you so lovingly kept saying about the melting pot. So
that's
that
my point.
Culture, their American culture is like,
we don't have one.
What does it mean to be American other than our films and our TV?
They just want to see our big buildings. They just want to, they don't come here to see American culture. They come here to see, ooh, I want to go to New York City because I saw it on TV and all these big buildings and people.
But that is not, that is culture.
But that is culture. That's New York culture. Yeah. And it's the same. I mean, I understand where you're coming from in that, in respect to that. And as far, because I know how I feel when I go, abroad. I'm definitely going to immerse myself in the culture. I want the food. Mm-hmm. I want the wine. I want all of that. But more importantly, the architecture, I absolutely love. But exactly. I also appreciate that here, believe it or not. I mean, yes, it's not as new, but like, for instance, I just got back from DC. Mm. It's completely different than what I get here in Houston, which is flat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's, nothing there, but
I agree with you.
There's the hotels, there's the, it's the pubs,
the mall area,
those areas that are there. So it is very different. I really do think though, it has to do with the mindset of that person. What are you looking for when you travel? I think that's a fair question.
The mindset.
What are you traveling for? Reasons why you're doing that?
Yeah. When I speak, like I said, when I speak with a lot of, folks, especially here in Europe that I know, when they say they wanted to visit and they don't even want to visit America, there's three major places they want to visit. Take a wild guess what those three places are.
Florida,
New York, Los Angeles,
Florida. Exactly.
And California. Yep.
Yeah. It's very rare you'll see people outside of America wanting to visit inland of America. They want to see New York City, Miami, or Florida in general, and Los Angeles. Very rare they'll go anywhere else. Maybe Chicago, but very rare they'll go anywhere else. So that's why I say it's what they see on TV, and then their mindset becomes what they see on TV. Because I can't tell you how many times I get the reference of Sex and the City, or I get the reference of Beverly Hills 90210, or actors and actresses and all this other stuff.
Well, that's their that's the first reference to that. And yes, I think on the onset that yes, that may be kind of what is the reference, but when they get here
and the big buildings and stuff like this,
when they see the different things, I think yes, on a basic level, I mean yes, right? Because mm-hmm. That's the way I feel. That's where you feel when you've been to London for the first time. You want to see royalty. You want to see Buckingham Palace. You want to see all those different things because that's your first natural introduction. But
it's the same with us here. Like when I just had another cousin of mine who just came to visit. She's never been to Paris before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's more to Paris than the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame.
Yes. Yes.
And the Seine River. There's way more than that.
Yeah, of course.
But that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's why that's why I keep going back to certain places because you can't get it all in one.
And trip. That's a good segue to lead into, what are the key things that to make it where you have the good time or best time when you travel.
Because there's layers, right? Like you'll travel someplace and you'll get the surface, like ooh la la, all the things. But if you can't get to those deeper layers of culture,
what do you think are some key things you can tell the audience that will make
number one,
a good experience in traveling?
Open mind, to get the best experience.
To get the best experience, you have to have an open mind and you have to be willing to really immerse yourself and understand you cannot come, particularly as an American, you cannot come with an American mindset. Come with the mindset that, yes, I'm going to explore. I'm going to, I'm definitely going to be, make a big experience of this. But the number one thing is to come with an open mind and realize that these laws are not American way anymore. So now you have to humble yourself to a certain degree, right? To be able to do that. So I think that's the number one thing is open mind, trying to come with an open mind.
But be careful. Well, you said something to the effect of don't come as an American? What did you,
no, no, no. You I said, mentioned? Don't come with your American, like your American, you know, kind of persona.
It needs to be this way. Like, expect it to be different. Oh. And I think,
yes. What, you mean you don't have Anna any Mountain Dew?
So expect that it's going to be different and be open to that is what is the key here, I think. And exactly. Because it is going to be different and it might not be comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. That's to be sure. There are going to be uncomfortable moments.
And things, yeah. And things will close. They're not going to stay open for you.
I know.
And they're not going to be like Burger King and have it the way you want it. Like if the chef, especially here in France, if the chef says, we will not cook our meat, well done.
Yes.
You ain't getting well done. I don't care how much you say you're going to pay them. You ain't getting it.
Exactly. You got to take it home, put it in the microwave.
And they might not even let you take it home. They may not even let you take it out. I repeat, there's not many places with doggy bags.
But that's because they really care about the food, and Americans are less.
Want you to enjoy the experience.
Concerned about our food. Yeah,
correct,
exactly.
Correct.
I've had a chef that said that to me. I want you to enjoy the experience. You will insult me if you tell me you want something other than how I made it.
Well, and so that's very different because in America, like the customer is always right. I mean, it's not like, so if you want it to burn to hell, then fine. You're going to, they want you to enjoy their restaurant. You're not going to
you pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, he's saying he's making himself a part of the experience where you may not even want that. You're like, no, dude, this is my dinner.
I just want what I want. Yeah. It's my dinner. Don't tell me what I need to do and what I don't need.
Definitely number two is try the food, you know, try the food, try the wines, do all of that, you know, try the soft drinks, you know, try whatever it is, mm-hmm. You know, and that goes hand in hand, of course, with being open-minded, you know, and eat something
before. I have a third one to your, mm-hmm. to the ones you already mentioned, Tricia, is get out of the mindset of the typical main attractions that we know as main attractions.
Off the beaten path. Get off the beaten path.
That's a good word. Because, absolutely. For example, when you, let's say somebody wants to go to Germany, what's the number one thing people are going to go to see in Germany? The Berlin Wall, you know, or what's left of it. And you know, get off the beaten path. Like, especially here in Paris, like every day I walk somewhere, I'm seeing something else that I didn't even know was like historic or whatever it may be. And, you know, coming across the oldest bakery in all of Paris. And I'm just like, for real? This is not one of the things that's in the tour guide.
I think a lot of it too, just, you know, in the defense of those, a lot of people don't have a lot of time. So I would, you know, I would definitely stipulate that they need to, you know, allow yourself time if you can, you know, within your travel plans, if you're going to do something like this, you know, don't try to fit, you know, Paris in a day, you know, if you can take a couple of days, take 3 days.
Yeah.
If you can, but you know, let's put into perspective, you know, Paris or France is a big place. So you're not going to be able to do all those things. So yes, if you have the 24 hours in Paris, what do? I can see you doing the Eiffel Tower, doing, you know, that sort of thing, but, you know, or London, you know, doing the Eye or Buckingham Palace or that sort of thing, but you are not going to see everything.
Exactly.
24 hours or experience.
No,
so you need to allow for the time, and you know, Asia definitely.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go there, there's so much community.
Yes, and I think another thing to the open mindedness is, and we've already talked about it in other episodes and stuff like that. Don't be that guy or gal. Don't be that American that you know everyone knows the stereotype of. You know,
I think we got new merch.
Yeah, just
don't
just
be that person.
Yeah,
don't be that person.
Don't be that person. You know, just immerse yourself and obviously, if you treat people with respect, don't be always the aggressor. The you know, I'm American because I was just about to talk over the slang. I ain't gonna lie, that when I first got here,
you did
wherever.
That.
Hell yeah, I did. Shoot, I'm from New York. Nobody gonna talk down to me.
Oh
like,
my
I'm from
God.
New York.
And then you were like, everybody's so rude here and you're wondering why.
No, I'm like, I always had a chip on my shoulder. Yeah. And I was just like, excuse me, what'd you say? Like, But then I started to calm down. I'm like, ah, okay. They just want you to be like, you're not in America. You need to just, and I still once in a while get the little bit of somebody always saying, yeah, but this is not America. So you can't. Every time I hear that, I cringe, but I bite my tongue now. And I'm like, you're right. Like, yeah, I'm not going to go and, you know, that's the etiquette part. I'm not going to eat my croissant with a knife and fork. I'm sorry.
Yes,
but we're not going to get on that.
Okay. But what I'm saying is that, you know, also don't, I would say, you know, it's not always an American attitude either. I'm just not going to let you talk to me any kind of way you're going to talk to me. Right. So that's the other thing about the respect.
But be respectful. And I think your friend said it to Trisha. Be respectful of their way of life and their way of culture, mm-hmm. you know, you will get a very good experience when you come to wherever you're going. And try to, when we say go off the beaten path, try other countries than the typical American visiting.
Then the European countries. And this is actually something that Tony brought up, you know, because we usually go to the developed countries first. I mean, at least in my experience, that's where I gravitated first. And then you go to some of the other less developed countries and the disparity is great. And just like being prepared for that, that shock to see people living like below the $1 a day or whatever it is that, you know, people are living on, it's unsettling, shocking.
I mean, I think we can say we both, at least in a sense, Benef, we've been to those smaller areas, not by choice, you know, like Iraq, for example, or those areas where it is not as developed as, you know. Those
What ends up happening is they've got the areas for the tourists where all their money is. And then you take, you know, three steps outside of that. And now you're seeing people living in like a shack. And that's, it's really hard to swallow.
And it's okay for them to hide that. That's the interesting part, because I go back to France again. Paris has a lot of those places. You just don't hear about them. You know, Saint-Denis, there's one area that's what you're just talking about and referring to, you know, where right up in Montmartre, where Sacré-Cœur is, right around the corner from there. Nobody talks about it, but I love that area because it's off the beaten path. And then you see all the real culture of like Parisians, where it's not just a white thing or black thing or whatever. Like you get like immersed with like, this is, you can buy everything from anything there and stuff like this. And I would love to just be able to, I'm happy to like provide people with options and ideas if they're interested in wanting to do it. Or maybe they have some ideas of what makes a good experience to wherever you wanted to travel.
We definitely would love to hear, you know, hear your comments on that and maybe share some experiences that you've had or some areas that, you know, obviously we don't have the time to mention here. So,
yes.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you enjoyed the conversation. We hope that you will leave comments, leave feedback for us. Of course, like and subscribe and continue to follow us on this passport ride, this journey of Rhythm and Rome. Until next time.
Woohoo!
Bye.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Ciao.